Hey everybody, how's it going? Hope you're having a blessed week. If not, just keep on believing. God is for you. Amen. Well, I want to say welcome back to our subscribers. Any visitors, any first-time visitors, hey, how you doing? And of course, my Living Faith family, it's good to be with you. I only have a couple things, no major announcements, except that, just to remind you, obviously, we're going to be closed next Thursday, right? Next Thursday for Thanksgiving. And then Saturday, that weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, the church will be closed on Saturday, November 29th, okay? So we won't be open. Everybody just enjoying their extended Thanksgiving by that time, okay? Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Father. We thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you are so good. Even when things look bad, we have hope because you are good. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you that you have plans and purposes for your children. And we just thank you so much. We thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that we would all discover what that plan and purpose is for us. Holy Spirit, help us, help me tonight as we look over the word. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. And so I thank you for being in our midst across these devices. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to, we're going to jump into the scriptures I'm going to be sharing from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I just wanted to start out by saying that there seems to be almost like an epidemic of people in the church, people that use other well-meaning Christians, and they just want to use them. They're not really looking to grow spiritually. They're not looking to be unified with the body. They're in the church for something, and that for something or for someone is for themselves. So, if you will, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 5, 6, sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us." I'm sorry, there's something on my contact lens and it's keeping me from seeing. So let me see if I can get it off. Oh, it's so embarrassing. So let me read that again since I can see it better than before. Again, Paul says here, this is a letter from Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. And 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother," of course, that means sister too, "every brother, not person, not heathen, not somebody outside of the church," he said, "every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition he received from us." In other words, Paul's saying, anyone, a brother who doesn't walk according to the teachings of Paul. So let me just give you some definitions here. Number one, but we need to notice in verse 6 that Paul said, "I command you." He says that we command you. That is not a suggestion, that it's a directive. And he said, "I command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," like that's official. "I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," right? He says that you withdraw from every brother. Every is enough, but every brother who walks disorderly. So let's just look at some definitions here. The word withdraw, and I want you, another version says to withdraw yourselves. So it puts the responsibility on us. But in the New King James Version, it says to withdraw from every brother. That word withdraw, it means to remove one's self. It means to depart. So the Apostle Paul was telling them to pull away and withdraw, to distance yourself or depart yourself or separate yourself from someone or something. So he's saying withdraw yourself from every brother. That means to remove oneself, to depart. Now we're going to see at the end how Paul continues and ends this particular topic. But it also means to abstain from familiar intercourse with one. That word withdraw, it means to abstain from familiar intercourse with one. Whether it's social reactions, it could be sexual interaction, but it means interaction or intercourse, fellowship. It means fellowship, to abstain from familiar fellowship with a person, right? Again, from every who? From every brother. I'm sure you, just as well as I have come to find out, we are, as Christians, because we want to demonstrate the heart of God, because we want to be kind to people, because we want to help people, it makes Christians sometimes, it makes us so vulnerable to users. There are users. Come on, y'all. There's users in the church. Okay, let's get that clear. I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've experienced it in the ministry. I've experienced it personally. I know other people who have experienced it, and there are people in the body of Christ who are users. They're users, okay? Paul is commanding us to distance ourselves, to separate ourselves from these people, okay? Let's keep going. The word, he said, who walks, every brother who walks disorderly, of course, the word walks in the Bible is parapateo, I think is the Greek word. It means to walk about or to walk around. You know, to walk about, to walk around. The Bible tells us don't walk as the Gentiles walk. We're supposed to walk around and conduct ourselves according to Christ, right? It means one who habitually lives and functions in a certain way. In other words, what is that certain way? That certain way is disorderly. Now, we're not saying, or I'm not saying for this particular teaching, I'm not saying that people don't make mistakes. Occasional mistakes, occasional slips, occasional sin, right? Occasional. But this is talking about when the Bible talks about walk, it means that we walk around habitually. This is the way this person, these particular brothers and sisters, they walk around. That is their modus operandi. This is their lifestyle. This is what they do. And again, they're taking advantage of well-meaning, good Christians. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Amen. I've had enough. And maybe you've had enough too. And so that word disorderly, the word disorderly is atactos. It's a military term, and it refers to soldiers. It's a word that's used to soldiers who are out of rank or out of order. In other words, a person or soldier or one who is insubordinate or who is disrespectful of authority. Come on. How many of you ever experienced a a born-again believer, at least that's what they say they are, who are disrespectful of authority. Okay, now as a pastor, I have experienced this. There, you know, that's why, look, if people don't disrespect you, they don't need to be with you and you don't need to be with them. And so it's to walk disorderly is one who is out of rank, like you just out of order. You're not following anybody's rules. You're not submitted to anybody. You're not listening to anybody. You're not following anybody. You are just disorderly and out of order. You know, in the court system, you're right in a courtroom when the defendant or whoever gets out of hand and the judge puts down his gavel, he said, out of order. Some people just walk around life like that. They just walk around 24/7 out of order. And the only time they're not out of order is when they're acting and they're going around trying to fool people, okay? Now, I'm talking about Christians, all right? That's what I'm talking about. That word disorderly, it also means out of ranks. Again, as with soldiers, it means disorderly means morally irregular. Disorderly means inordinate. That word inordinate, I hope I don't bore you with these things, but it just paints a picture. Inordinate means not regulated. And this is based on Thayer's lexicon and Strong's concordance. They walk around not regulated. They walk around with not proper limits. That it means excessive, right? It means unrestrained in conduct. And it even means out of control in the church. How many of you ever met a Christian that was all these things? You know, they're just out of order. And some of them go from church to church. They go from one church to another church. They go from job to job because they're just out of order. And they don't want anybody telling them what to do. They won't be. They won't submit to any authority. Unless you own your own business, you're going to have a boss, right? If you're a member of the church, you're going to have leaders and you're going to have a pastor. You're not the boss. You're not in charge, right? But a person who avoids this, who doesn't want to follow order, then they are out of order. The Bible calls them disorderly. And we'll see in these scriptures what Paul is telling us what to do. And it also means rebellion to authority, God's leaders. I mean, you know, some Christian, they're rebellious to God's leaders. They're rebellious to the pastor. As a pastor, I'm the leader. I'm the shepherd, right? And so you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to follow every pastor who is following Christ, who has put the pastor in charge. So I wish we would all just realize, look, if you don't like the way something's being run, then go run your own, okay? If you live in a person's house, you follow the person's rules, or you go find somebody else to live with. Isn't that right? Of course, absolutely. And so as believers, again, I'm a part of my purpose in sharing this briefly tonight is because I have seen people, good Christians, generous Christians, kind Christians, being taken advantage of over and over and over and over again, including myself, right? Because we're the first ones to judge ourselves. Oh, am I being, insensitive to this person's needs and, would God expect me to do this for them? Or, you know, so we get caught up in all that stuff. But Paul's shooting from the hip here in these scriptures. So I wanted us to look at them. I wanted you to look at them since I looked at them. right? And so I just wanted to share it with you so that you don't feel bad. So you don't feel convicted, right? And do what you got to do to protect yourself, all right? So that means a person who is disorderly and disrespectful of authority, that means they're going to be disrespectful to their boss, disrespectful and disorderly and not following your pastor. It could be talking about the police. You know, I try to tell young people, you need to watch out for a guy who's not scared of the police, not scared, but respectful of the police, right? Like, police should make you a little nervous. But some people, they're not afraid. They're not, don't have any respect for police. Or for that matter, being respectful and to God, to our Heavenly Father, right? So this person is just plain disorderly. The term also was used in Bible times to describe, this is also what Paul is talking about, based on the Thessalonians reports, okay? The term was also used in Bible times to describe someone who refused to work and lived off of other people's goodness, kindness, and resources, okay? Again, the term disorderly, it was also a term used in Bible times to describe someone who refused to work and lived off of, who refused to work, number one, and thereby lived off of other people's goodness, kindness, and resources. If you're looking for a husband, ladies, make sure they have a job, okay? If they don't have a job, well, it doesn't matter. Find out why they don't have a job. Find out why they can't keep a job, right? Because that is a sign that they follow rules and that they can submit. If they can submit to others, you know that they'll submit to God. For example, I have given a person money. This is just one case. I've given a person personally, given them money, and then only to find out that they were a gambler. Well, you got to know that bothered me. That hurt me. I'm like, man, they took advantage of me, right? Or you lent somebody money, right? People, they say the violins. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to people who are really in need. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have the pattern of being disorderly, out of order, don't want to work, right? They just look for people to use and abuse. That's what I'm talking about. And I personally want to protect not only myself, but to protect other people. So it's like somebody asks you to borrow money and you lend them money and they don't have a job and they use that money to go on vacation. Well, vacation, the word vacation means cessation, or suspension of work. If you don't work, you don't need a vacation because you don't work. Vacation means stopping work for a time. You know what I'm saying? So how many times have you as a Christian, has a person fooled you, bamboozled you out of something, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, whether they tricked you and charmed you, they talked you into giving them a place to live. Now we have squatters. You can't even help somebody, be kind to somebody without them trying to take advantage of you, right? Which is ridiculous. I'll be glad when they get that fixed. How can there be squatters' rights? That's crazy to me. You know, that's just me, right? That's my house. That's my property. How are you going to have the right to stay in there and you're not paying anything? It's just not right. But anyway, so people have, Christians have bamboozled us out of things. And Paul is telling us at a certain point, in my opinion, sooner than later, he says, you need to withdraw yourself. It's a command, not a suggestion. He said, you need to withdraw yourself from these people. So these brothers or sisters are disorderly. They are not just having a hard run. That's not what I'm talking about. They don't want a job. They don't want to work, right? They don't want to work. Or they're just master manipulators, right? They just go around seeing who they can trick and fool into giving them something and pulling on their heartstrings, taking advantage of people. That's why some people do go from church to church, right? Again, 40 years of ministry, we've seen people. It's so hard to help people because people are such tricksters. They come in, right? I mean, people can lie to you like the drop of a dime, you know? And we don't know. We don't know whether you're telling the truth or not, you know? We don't know whether you're just lazy or, like I said, you're just in a hard stretch in your life. You just hit some hard times. But there are people who go around from church to church, person to person, ministry to ministry. And then some of them, they got the nerve, I'm sorry, to, after you help them, they disappear. They disappear. Why? Because they don't want to be accountable. They're not going to stick around and join the family, you know, and serve God together, worship God together. No, they're just looking for something. Christians. He said, brother. He's talking about, he said, every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the teachings that you have received. Okay? So I have here, so we have to, you and I have to work at, maybe this isn't you. Maybe you just, you know, you just assume everybody is fake and you've never helped anybody. But again, as Christians, we need to stop having a constantly turned on soft spot. Now, I'm not saying we should be calloused or hard. It's just that we need to be careful and we need to let people learn their lesson. Amen. So why was Paul saying this? He said, every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us to cut them off, to withdraw from them. Pull up your stakes in their life and in their drama. Pull up your stakes and walk away. Just walk away. I'm going to read another scripture, Ephesians. Now, again, I'm not talking about somebody who can't take care of themselves. I'm not talking about somebody who was in a bad accident and they're physically, they can't take care of themselves. They can't work. I'm talking about serial users. Serial users. You know, there's a pastor in California who I know, and every once in a while, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. But when he found out that a guy was in the church trying to, you know, seduce the women in the church or trick them or, you know, whatever, he would put up a wolf alert on the screen in the sanctuary. Now, I wouldn't do that. But I would want to protect my people, congregants, from a wolf. And a wolf will eat sheep alive. And so I would want to protect them, you know. So ladies, if you're dating anybody, you think about dating a particular person, come have a conversation with me, okay, just in case I can help you so I can protect you, amen? And let's just have a little chat. But let's see what Paul is looking at. He says, let's keep reading. It says, but you, Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Look, we're supposed to prosper. We're supposed to do well so that we have something, that God wants us to have something to help somebody else in need. But these people, these disorderly people, they don't want to do that. They just want to people to meet their needs. So that means they go around and they deceive people. That means they steal from people, right? Through deception. And people are slick. Whew. Some people are so slick. They're so smooth. And they can, what did they say? They can sell ice to whatever. Sell ice to a seal. I know that's not right, but I don't want to say what they usually say. But, they don't need it, but they can sell it to them anyway because they're so smooth and so deceptive. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So, again, this verse says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Same thing for a female. Look, thank God as females, we don't have to lift boulders and, do all that kind of hard work, physical hard work. But there are other jobs that we can do, right? Women have jobs in most professions. So just because you're a female, just because a person is a female doesn't mean that she can't use Christians and use the kindness of Christians. Again, and sometimes as Christians, we get things wrong because we judge ourselves. We tell ourselves, well, I don't want to be too harsh. Oh, Lord, I'm a Christian, so I should help this person. But I'm telling you, if the person's smooth and deceptive, they are masters at deception in talking you into giving them something, right? And so what Paul was saying here, so let's keep reading. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. So why was Paul saying this? Paul was saying, listen, so I'll start reading the Passion Translation, verse 6. Beloved brothers, the title in the Bible in the Passion Translation over that's written above verse 6, it says a warning about laziness and disunity. So he says, beloved brothers and sisters, we instruct you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to stay away from believers who are unruly and who stray from all that we have taught you. For you know very well that you should order your lives after our example, because we were not undisciplined when we were with you. So Paul was saying, you didn't learn that from me. You didn't learn how to live off of other people from me. That's why he said, those who walk disorderly and not according to the tradition or to the teachings of Paul. And then it says, we didn't sponge off of you. Uh-oh. Listen. This is Paul. let me read verse 7 again. For you know very well that you should order your lives after our example, because we were not undisciplined when we were with you. We didn't sponge off of you, but we worked hard night and day to provide our own food and lodging and not to be a burden to any of you. It wasn't because we don't have the right to be supported. They were ministers. He was an apostle. They traveled. They, lived off of the gospel. But we wanted to provide you an example to follow. He was providing them, the people of God, the example to follow. For when we were with you, we had instructed you with these words. Anyone who does not want to work for a living should go hungry. Wow. Paul said that. This is the Passion Translation. Very dramatic, but it sure paints the picture properly. There's no question as to what he's talking about. But that's what he meant nonetheless. Now we hear rumors that some of you are being lazy and neglecting to work, that these people are not busy, but busy bodies. He's saying these people aren't busy, but busy bodies. In other words, they don't have a job. They're not being occupied with getting their own food, so they have a whole bunch of time on their hands, and they're meddling around in other people's lives. They're at your house too long, whatever, you know, taking up all your time when you have other things to do. So with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, so with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we order them to go back to work in an orderly fashion and exhort them to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, don't ever grow weary in doing what is right. Now, let's finish. Verse 14, take special note of anyone who won't obey what we have written and stay away from them so that they would be ashamed. This is what Paul's working on. Number one, he's giving this order, this command to withdraw from these people who don't want to work, who want to be disorderly, who want to be dramatic, who want to cause trouble, who want to go around from place to place, person to person, getting stuff out of them, cheating them and deceiving them out of their possessions. He said, brothers and sisters, don't ever grow weary in doing what is right. Take special note of anyone who won't obey what we have written and stay away from them so that they would be ashamed and get turned around. All Paul wants to do, he's being strict, he's being hard, but at some point, you and I, with the certain people, we've got these disorderly people keep showing up in our lives, keep asking us for stuff. Paul said, you withdraw from them. You pull yourselves away from them. So why? So that they might be ashamed and get turned around. He wants people who are doing that. Why do they need to get turned around? Because what they're doing is not God. What they're doing, how they're living, is not godly. It's not God-led. And he's saying those people who don't want to work, who want to even cause trouble from place to place, he said they need to be ashamed. How many of you know that if you're not ashamed, you're not going to repent? If you feel like what you're doing is okay, you're not going to repent because you don't see yourself as doing anything wrong, okay? And so he says, he says, yet don't regard them as enemies, but caution them as fellow believers, right? So can we call them up? Maybe, sure. Can we pray for them? Absolutely, we can pray for them. But we need to withdraw from them, right? So that they can be ashamed, so that they can feel bad from being rejected, and so that they can turn around. Somebody say that's the love of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us wisdom to know when a person is truly disorderly, and that we would discern when a person is using us. God, we want to flow in your love and we want to flow in your mercy, but God, we do not want to be taken advantage of just because we're Christians. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give your people under the sound of my voice, give them discernment as to those who are using them and mean them no good, but only harm. I thank you for that. Somebody say, I thank you, Lord, for your discernment. Lord, I thank you that you didn't call me to be taken advantage of and to be deceived. And so, Father, we thank you for discernment by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody. I pray you got something out of this. Amen. And so don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty if you've had to be harsh with some people. And it's good for them. God wants them to turn around. All right. God bless you. I love you. Bye.